This is a Hot Pie Media original.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the DMP City Sports Podcast presented by Odd Shark. I'm Chad Fisher alongside my co-host, Mr. Tony Vegas, Daytona 500 farmer, man. What's going on,
dude,
brother?
My nickname keeps getting longer and longer.
Man.
I'll
it's
take
gonna,
it, though.
It's
going
to be like seven words by the end of this season.
I like it, man. No, things are going good, dude. The World Series just wrapped up. Yeah. Congratulations, the Atlanta Braves.
It's awesome that they won.
Yeah, man. There's a lot going on in the sports world right now. Real quickly, I mean, Buster Posey, guaranteed Hall of Famer, just retired. Yeah. Went out on top with a 300-plus batting average. That guy's done it all
in
the league. Someone I've interviewed, actually, before. Really, really good guy. We've got all sorts of drama in the NFL with the Henry Ruggs situation, the Aaron Rodgers situation. There's a lot going on in the sports world, but I'm doing well, man. Whenever there's a lot going on in the sports world, I'm a happy guy because I feed off this drama. I love talking about it, you know?
Yeah, same, dude. That's why we are here.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, man, it's awesome. We got an awesome show today, which I'm really excited about.
Me too, man.
Yeah, so we're going to be interviewing the head coach of St. Louis University, Billikens, Coach Travis Ford, who also played at Kentucky with Jamal Mashburn, Tony Delk. A lot of talent on those teams.
Against the Fab Five in the Final Four.
My favorite teams of all time, the Fab Five. So it's going to be awesome to talk about that game specifically because I remember watching that game, dude. I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Some of my first sports memories were of the Fab Five and watching that specific game. I remember it was a huge game.
Yeah.
My dad just kept telling me that. But, yeah, so really excited, man, because they got a pretty good team. They had a really good team last year. The year before that, they made the tournament. They were ravaged by COVID last year, kind of derailed their season a little bit. But before that, the season before, they were a 13 seed in the tournament. The following year, they started out 7-1, beat some big programs, man. Beat LSU, almost beat Minnesota on the road as well. Took them down the wire. I think they only lost by 6 or 8. So they're going to have a good team this year. They did, unfortunately, just lose their best player, but we're going to ask him how they're going to mitigate that loss and who's going to step up because they've got some talent on that team still.
For sure. And he seems like a cool guy. I think we'll be able to have a couple laughs as well. It should be a great interview.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, man. But before we get to that, let's tell everybody about Odd Shark. Odd Shark is your free source for the latest odds from leading authorities, including expert editorial content. They've got the hottest sports news. They've got detailed matchup picks, and they've got in-depth expert analysis. That's one of the things we love about them so much, man, is the articles and stuff that they got on there as well, man, because you can learn about a sport or a matchup that you don't know anything about. Boxing is one of those things for me. If there's two fighters that I don't know too much about, I like to go on there, find an article or two, read about it, and then I know what I need to know in order to put some money down. Lose some money, you know. So.
Absolutely. Odd Shark's great. And in addition to those articles that Chad mentioned, they also have the lines up there that are constantly moving. You can see the history of how the lines are moved, maybe the over-under for a game, what the money line is. And we're actually going to be using that resource or later in this show after our interview with Coach Ford. We're going to be using the Odd Shark website in order to tell you about the NFL games and kind of give you some good angles for that. So what they do is they break down the action across every major sporting event. They specialize in football, like I mentioned, but also props and previews for college football, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, like Chad mentioned, boxing, UFC. And this is a legit resource, guys. They've been featured on places that you know. I'm talking about Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports, TSN, and many others that you're familiar with. So if you want to get a better understanding of the odds and the math behind the numbers and start thinking like a shark today, head on over to Odd Shark.
Yeah, dude, what's awesome is that they don't just have sports that you can bet on. You can bet on like, the Grammys, the Oscars.
Hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, Jeopardy, which is crazy, man.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome for sure.
Dude, you can literally bet on anything.
Yeah, so Odd Shark enlists experts to help explain sports, even poker odds, blackjack strategy. You definitely want to check them out with March Madness coming up. We're a few months away from that. Kentucky Derby, obviously the Super Bowl coming up. They're a proven industry powerhouse. They have info from around the globe giving you the chance to access the best sports odds on the planet. So again, whether you want to check out this weekend's NFL games, maybe a little hockey. We're getting into that season, some NBA. They're a great resource for the latest odds. Go ahead and check them out. That's oddsshark.com.
Yeah, I've been losing a lot of money on the NBA lately.
That's easy to do. That's why I stay away from the NBA.
No, man, I had a little hot streak going. Yeah. I got a little too arrogant, a little too cocky, and started doing a little too much.
It happens. You know? It happens.
I'm going to blame you because you told me to start betting some underdogs, and I did. I lost some money, so
maybe I should have given you a little more detail with those instructions.
Yeah. I just let you bet for me.
You
man,
got like an eight that. Game parlay with eight dogs in it or something.
Hey, man, you know, maybe four. Okay, maybe just four. Maybe not eight. Maybe we're going to work our way up to eight, you know, at some point.
So we're going to go ahead and use this Odd Shark resource for our NFL picks a little bit later. But first, St. Louis men's basketball coach Travis Ford.
All right, our guest today is entering his fifth season as the head coach of the St. Louis University Billikens. He spent eight successful years as the head coach of Oklahoma State, helping to turn that program around. While there, he coached Boston Celtics guard Marcus Smart. He was also a pretty good player in his day, playing in college ball at Kentucky. In the 2018-2019 season, he led St. Louis to the NCAA tournament as a 13 seed. Last year, he led his team to a 14-7 record, including an upset of LSU and a near upset of Minnesota. He is also only one of 15 active head Division I coaches with 400 more wins and 24 or fewer seasons as a head coach. St. Louis opens the season November 9th against, at home against Central Arkansas. We think he's going to have a pretty good team this year. We're super excited to welcome the DMP City Sports Podcast, Coach Travis Ford. How you doing, Coach? Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on. I've been excited about this. So, thanks a lot, but all's good.
We're excited. Like we said, you opened the season against Central Arkansas here in a couple of days. We're going to get to the current season here in a second. But I got to ask you, in 2019, y'all won the Atlantic 10 tournament. You won four games in 4 days. And there's that famous video of you jumping into the SLU student section. I got to ask you, when you jumped in there, did anyone pilfer your wallet or anything? Or did you come out with a watch missing? Do we got to look at some tape and review that? What's going on?
Well, I came out with my wallet, but I think I pulled a groin and a back muscle and a couple of hamstrings in the process. I haven't moved quite that fast in a very, very long time. But pretty exciting time, to say the least.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Coach. Javonte Perkins was a first-time Atlantic 10 player. He was also your leading scorer. And unfortunately, on the same day that we learned that he was at the Atlantic 10 player first team, it was also announced that he tore his ACL in an exhibition game. Is he going to be back next year? And how tough is it going to be to replace a guy like that scored on all three levels, kind of helped you space the floor a lot as well?
Yeah, tough break for him. He's worked extremely hard in the offseason. He gained about 20 pounds of muscle. And not only was he first team, probably if they had a preseason player of the year, he probably would have been that as well.
Good point.
He's a guy that we could, could just put 20 points down before the game started, maybe 30, but he was going to average 20 or more points a game. And, you know, in this game, that's probably the hardest thing to find is people to put the ball in the hole. That's probably the toughest thing there is. So yes, we hate it for him. We're supporting him in every way that we can. But we hate it for our team as well. And we've had to pivot a little bit, you know, no question. When you lose 20 points a game, you better can't keep going down the same path. You're going to have to change up a little bit. And we don't have anybody, I think, that's going to go out and average 20. It's going to have to be by committee, but we'll figure it out. As far as what the future looks like, you know, I think all those things have to be determined. You know, when does he, you know, this is a long process.
Yeah.
You know, and when is he back healthy and start making those decisions then as far as what is next for Javonte?
Can you talk about your role as a head coach in a situation like this? I'd imagine part of your job is kind of keeping morale up when teammates see, you know, the best player on their team go down. That's got to be a tough blow mentally.
It is. And he was, you know, obviously extremely respected in our locker room. Everybody loves him. One of the nicest young men you guys would ever be around. Amazing young man. Everybody loves Javonte. And yeah, it took a couple of days. We had to get our team to realize, guys, you know, we got to move forward here. We can't sit around and feel sorry for ourselves. Nobody else can. And as I told them, you know, the next morning I got a lot of phone calls from a lot of people saying, we hate it for Javonte. We hate, you know, feel bad for him. And boy, we hate it for your team. You guys had a chance to be pretty good. I'm like, we had a chance. We still plan on being pretty good.
Still playing.
trying to get a little chip on our team's shoulder a little bit now, because I think a lot of people, you know, probably have given up a little bit and probably not expecting a whole lot, you know, things like that. So you gotta, you know, you hate it, but you're gonna have to use it as a little motivating factor, some of these other guys, to be better than they've ever been. But, you know, we faced some serious adversity last season. We're sitting there, as you mentioned, we were sitting there 7-1, ranked 20th or 22nd in the country. in the AP polls. Every had beaten LSU, had beaten NC State.
Yep.
Took Minnesota to the wire, and it was the only loss we had. And then COVID hit, and we had 11 players, including myself, get COVID. So we were never the same team after that. Wasn't even close. Obviously, look at our record. We never got it back. We were off 25 days in the middle of the season, which is tough. So we've faced adversity before. Hopefully we've learned from it. Hopefully it can make us a little bit stronger. But you never know. You never know.
Who do you expect to step up and kind of mitigate Javonte's absence?
Yeah, you know, as we told our guys, everybody's going to do something different. Not everybody can, you know, is going to go out and average 20. But Yuri Collins, I think, is one of the better point guards in our league. And Yuri can do it from assists. And then the other night, he had 17 points in an exhibition game. And that, but that's not ever been his MO to go out and score points. But he's been one of the best assist to turnover ratio guys in the country. Is he going to have to go out and score more points? Maybe, but I don't want him trying to do that. I still need him to do his job, even at a higher rate. And there might be some nights that you get 15 to 17. The guys that we're going to be looking for to maybe help in the point column, Gibson Jimerson. He's a guy that's, you know, teetered on 11, 10, 11 points. And we might need you to go get 14, 15 average.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Thatch is a candidate, a young man that has more than capabilities to average double figures. Hasn't because of injuries and things, but he has that capabilities. And then there's probably two other guys, TJ Hargrove, we're going to ask a lot out of, who really came on, I think, at the end of the season. And a freshman, Jordan Nesbitt, is another guy. So hopefully by committee, we can make up some of that 20 points.
Nice. Coach, you read my mind because I was going to ask you about Yuri next. He was named a preseason third team all A10 defense. He had a tremendous year last year. He led the A10 in assists and was 10th nationally in assists. What kind of jump do you expect to see out of him this year? Obviously, he's going to be a great defensive player, and he's also going to help run your offense as well. But how's his game improved since last year, though, too?
Yeah, he's worked really hard in the offseason to improve his shooting. Mm. Our last 5 to 6 games, nobody guarded him, and it really hurt us, and he knew that. We didn't hide from that. You know, that's reality. People backed all the way off of him, didn't guard him, and it didn't allow him to create like he normally did. And so he worked hard on his jump shot, and he worked hard on his scoring a little bit, floaters, different parts of his game to try to add. And I think you'll see some of that. But again, I don't need him going out and trying to score. I still need Yuri Collins to be a game changer first on defense. He needs to be a game changer on defense, change the game with your defense by being great heat on the ball, setting the tone for our defense. And then making sure you make everybody around you better, because he has the ability. The one guy on our team has ability to find open guys. He has the greatest feel of any player on our team. Go do that. And then scoring opportunities will present itself. Don't go looking for them. They will present themselves for you.
Coach, for people not familiar with your team, can you tell our viewers what your style of play is like? I mean, if someone's sitting there on an afternoon, they put the TV on and see you guys playing, what are they going to see on TV?
Well, we play we like to think a very aggressive, tough-minded, style of basketball. You look at our rebounding numbers and defensive numbers over the last couple of years. We've been very, very high in rebounding on offensive end and defensive end. That, to me, rebounding is a lot about physicality.
Mm-hmm.
We want to play fast offensively, but I think everybody says that to an extent. We've got to prove it a little bit better than we have in the past. I think this team, we're going to probably play even a little faster than we were planning on playing, to try to score a few more points. We're going to get after it defensively, be a very aggressive defensively. We change defenses a lot. We press. We have zones. We have trapping half-court defenses. We have a lot of different defenses that we like to play. So we're trying to keep our opponent guessing a lot with our aggressiveness. So it's an aggressive style of basketball on both ends of the court.
Yeah, I like the way you guys share the ball. You guys are always moving the ball pretty well. It seems like the ball's never really sticking. You had 18 last year. You averaged nearly 18 assists a game on 27 made field goals. That tells me the ball's moving. You guys are no one's standing around and just dribbling and everything, which is really refreshing to see.
Yeah, it's a point of emphasis. It's something we talk about every day. We actually have drills where we work on that, believe it or not, where we're actually, we call it rotation passing drills, where it's all about just passing, cutting, and getting to the point where if you close your eyes, you should know where guys are at based on rotations. And we do these drills every day. We show our guys, you know, we call them NBA passing. I think NBA guys are some of the best passers in the country. If you can't pass, you can't play in the NBA. It's very difficult.
Yep.
How do you pass up a good shot, or how do you make go from a good shot and use your passing to get a great shot?
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the, you know, the themes that we use. And we show our guys a lot of film about what it means to be a great passing team, not just moving the ball around, but being able to create with your passing. You know, the extra passes, things like that.
Yeah, definitely. Coach, you guys are in the Atlantic 10 with VCU. We just had Coach Mike Rhodes on the show a couple of weeks ago. I just want to know, you got some trash talk we can pass along to him? Or are you going to stay away from the Bolton board material?
I would, but Mike would know better because he's one of my favorites.
Is he really?
I love Mike Rhodes. Great coach.
Yeah, he is.
Wonderful coach. Done an amazing job at VCU. Always has his teams really well prepared. But no, I would love to trash talk Mike a lot a bit, but he knows that's he would read right through it.
Yeah, yeah. We like him a lot on the show too. We loved our interview with him. He's such an awesome, motivating guy. We're looking forward to that matchup with you guys this year. But if you're not going to give us any trash talk about VCU, who's winning in a golf game between you and Coach Rhodes?
Well, that's easy. That's easy. I'll take the golf game and the free throws. I'll win the free throw contest. And I'll throw in 3-point contest.
Okay.
And golf.
Okay.
He might win the long drive contest on me. He's a little bit bigger than I am.
Yeah.
He might get the long drive, but I'll get it in the hole a lot quicker than he would. I'm a pretty good putter.
I was going to ask you then, so what about game of one-on-one? You still taking that? Because I know you still got some game, right, Coach?
As long as we don't allow the ball in the paint and he can't back me down. All he does is back me down in the paint, I'm in good shape. But I don't think I could guard Mike in the post. I don't think I could guard him. Well,
so maybe a game of horse then.
Yeah. But, Coach, you talked about a little bit with some of the guys you're going to have step up. Those guys are from all over the country and everything. And you also recruit all over the world. You got guys on your team from Miami, Nigeria, Germany, Sweden, the Ivory Coast, and Idaho. Are you sure? I just want to make sure. Are you sure you're not just signing these kids so you can justify all these extravagant trips all over the world? You're just relaxing when you're out there.
I've been accused of that more than once. We got the international flavor. We're the world's team. We're kind of like the Cowboys.
There you go.
We're not just America's team. We're world's team. We got a little bit of everybody. But we have, you know. And that's one of the things that attracted me to this job is, mm-hmm. you know, we've got great facilities, beautiful camp, great facilities, beautiful campus. And there's a lot to offer, which allows us to recruit across the country, around the world. But we've also made an emphasis. If you look at our roster, there's a lot of guys from St. Louis. And that's something that hasn't been done here a lot throughout many years. There's been a lot of great players come from St. Louis come here, but it's not been an emphasis like we've tried to put on, you know, trying to recruit kids from St. Louis.
That's our next question, Tony.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the NBA has produced guys like Larry Hughes, Bradley Beal, Ben McLemore, Patrick McCaw, just to name a few. And there's others as well.
Jason Tatum.
Good one. Yeah, I forgot about him. So how important is it for you to recruit from your home state and your home city?
You know, I've mentioned it and talked along about it on my very first press conference when I was introduced as coach. I wanted to make St. Louis a priority in recruiting, an emphasis in recruiting. I wanted to get to know the high school coaches, the AU coaches, because I hadn't spent a lot of time here. I didn't have a lot of connections in St. Louis. I knew a lot of people, but you know what I found out, and this is some of the best high school, and I know I'm probably a little biased, but some of the best high school basketball you'll find across the country, in the United States. Some really, really good high school coaches, great AAU programs in the city. But, you know, I can go catch two or three games a night. Maybe it's a half, maybe an half of one game, a half of another game. And all my stops, I think this is my fifth or sixth college program I've taken over. I've never been able to do that. I've never been able to recruit, you know, in town. And I'm absolutely loving that. And it is really good talent, great high school tradition. They still pack games here on Friday nights and Tuesday nights, which is a little unusual nowadays in high school basketball. Mm-hmm. They still pack them out, great rivalries. So it's been a lot of fun.
Coach, you mentioned earlier those rotational passing drills. I'm wondering if you can give us any insight into some other things that are somewhat unique to your program that a lot of other teams might not be doing, whether it's on the court with these different drills or things that you emphasize off the court with your guys.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's unusual or not, but the backbone of our program is individual development. You know, we think we spend more time on it and take more pride in it than most programs. Maybe we spend a lot of time with our players individually on the court, off the court, watching film, doing a lot of things to develop the individual player. I've been a big believer that I think basketball is the ultimate team sport, but our team can't become great if every individual doesn't reach his own potential, whatever that may be. I don't know. Some guys may be NBA overseas or just a good college career, but whatever their potential is as a player, I need to try to get that out of them and then put them in position to showcase those skills, put them in position to showcase their talents. And, you know, we like to think we give our guys a lot of freedom to play, but it's based on, there's some structure to it, but it's based on a lot of individual work. And it doesn't do us any good to go work as hard as we do, as long as we do individually with our guys, if we don't allow them to go play, you know. So I don't have a lot of, you know, you'll see our big shoot threes and different things. Like, you'll see different guys bring the ball up the court. But we work on these things. We spend an enormous amount of time with our players individually to try to make them better.
Yeah. Coach, we talked about a little bit earlier about the teams you guys played last year. You started 7-1. You played a tough schedule. You beat LSU. You took Minnesota to the wire. You guys don't shy away from tough competition. In fact, this year you guys got matchups against, you're at Memphis, you got Boston College and Auburn as well. How important are those games as a mid-major? You know, if you win a couple of those, now you're on the map and you got an inside track for an NCAA berth, right?
Yeah, it's a must. It's a, you know, to get an NCAA tournament, you've got to put together a tough, tough schedule. And, you know, we've studied a lot of teams over the last 3 years and looked at their schedule. What did it take? We've seen teams, you know, at our level, which we consider ourselves, you know, right there pecking at the high major. But teams right at our level that have put together ridiculous schedule. I mean, ridiculous schedules, and have gone 500 non-conference and then went and finished first, second, or third and still made it with a good seed.
Yep.
So I think you're rewarded for that. You mentioned, it's interesting, this morning I was reading some articles, and yes, we play the Auburns, we play the Memphises, we play the Boston Colleges. These are all teams that people know. But there was a top 15 mid-major poll that came out this morning. We played seven of those people.
Oh, wow.
Three of them were in our league, BCU, yep. Richmond, say Bonaventure, Boise State, yep. Drake, Belmont, UAB. We're playing all these teams this year. So our schedules is the toughest schedule we've ever played because of that, because of Drake, you know, the Belmonts, the Boise State, at Boise State. You know, UABs, that's what's made Buffalo yep. was in that.
Yep. Dayton,
playing Buffalo and Cancun, hopefully, you know, that could be a possibility. So, you know, it's going to be difficult.
Coach, you've been coaching for a while. I'm curious if you've noticed any trends or differences in college athletes today than years ago. And, you know, there's stereotypes out there that students and younger generation in general is softer. That's something you may have heard. Does your style need to change and adapt as these students change, or do you kind of have some core things that you take throughout that time?
Well, you know, that's it's a great question. Interesting question. It's something that we debate as a staff all the time.
Mm.
You know, you don't want to change too much because that might be part of the problem sometimes.
Right.
But make no mistake, you're exactly right. I've been a college head coach for 25 years, and, I'm old in this, and
you still got a good head of hair, coach.
Time. And it's harder than it's ever been to be a coach. It's hard. It's the hardest it's ever been. It seems to get harder every year. And I think that's because of social media. That's because of the transfer portals. There's just a lot of challenges in coaching nowadays. Now, I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy that. That's, you know, I don't mind that. But it is. It's so much harder than it was 15, 20 years ago in coaching. Doesn't mean I don't enjoy it as much. It's just, it is harder. I tell people that all the time. It's it's as hard as it's ever been.
Yeah. I worked on college campuses for 9 years in an administrative role with residence hall students. And we always talked about challenge and support, you know, making sure that students are getting both the challenge and support. And it seemed like, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but it seemed like as the years went on, students were needing more and more challenge. But again, you don't want to enable in that
exactly
way
right.
and give too much yeah. support. So it's always an interesting balance and something you got to keep a close eye on. And it's interesting.
It's the old adage. You've heard it, you know, kids have changed nowadays. Kids are, well, if the kids change or if we change.
Yeah, yeah.
Good question.
You hear that
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the biggest thing I've seen is just, you know, especially five, 6 years, just seems like they all just want instant success. Immediate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you gotta have immediate success, start, average 15 a game, this and that, and just don't seem quite as patient as it used to be.
Yeah. Good Coach, last couple of questions here for you. I got to ask you, in 2015, you got ejected from your son's high school basketball game. You were just a fan. You weren't even coaching, you know, but I want to tell you, Coach, I think that's awesome because I already know I have a 1-year-old son. I already know I'm going to get ejected from multiple games because sometimes that officiating is a terrible, and you just got to let them know. Right, Coach?
We were just talking about this. My wife and I were out to dinner with some people and we were just talking about this. And it's interesting, true story. It was an away game, a high school. This is, I don't know if I've ever told this story. True story. I was at my son's away game. He was a good player, Stillwater High School. I was at Oklahoma State at the time. It was an away game. I can't even remember where it was, somewhere near Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And, literally, and everybody around me will vouch for this. I might've yelled out, blow your whistle. I think it was. The guy literally stops, turns around and says, you're out of here.
Oh.
And I'm like, and there might've been 100 people in the stands total. And probably wow. 30 of them were our parents. And everybody's like looking around, like, who are you talking to?
What?
He points at me. True story.
Wow.
Points at me, says, you're out of here. And I'm like, what? So I wasn't going to leave. My wife actually says, you need to leave. So I walk out. The AD of the school comes and gets me. Is like apologizing in the lobby area. Wow. And I said, man, I want, you know, what's the deal here? And he says, you don't have to leave. Come back here in the hallway. So I went back actually in his office and sat. And I said, hey, and the game got over. And I said, I want to talk to this guy. I want to talk to this guy. You know, been doing this my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, true story. I'm coaching it at Oklahoma State. He says, I'll go get him. The guy agreed to do it. The guy walks in, has an OU hat on.
I was just going to say that.
No way.
Yep. Yep.
No way.
Yep. I was just going to say that.
Wow.
Has an OU hat and OU shoes or socks. I can't remember.
Oh, if he got,
one of the two on.
If he's got
shoes. I don't think I've ever, you know, it's one of those things. I got a little grief next time. I'm like, I don't even have time to address it. I didn't care about it. Let people think with it at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people at Oklahoma State got a little upset with me. Like, you know,
yeah.
if you'd been there, you'd just laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It was comical.
Unbelievable.
What had happened. And this guy was such a joke.
And I you mean, already
I,
know.
I mean, literally. there's some other people months later that came and knew the guy, different things like that. It was,
Coach,
it was ridiculous.
If he's got OU socks or shoes on, you know he's a diehard fan because it's very difficult to get some shoes with OU on. You know? You can't just
maybe
buy those
cleats.
Yeah. You can't just get those anywhere. You got to get those specially made and stuff, Coach. You know. Yeah.
Oh,
but last man. Question for you, Coach. We want to talk about your playing career a little bit. You played in that epic 1993 Final Four game against the Fab Five in Michigan. I'm a huge Michigan fan. I remember that game. It was one of my first memories as a sports fan. My dad was actually at that game. He drove down with my stepmom and went to that game. You had a great stat line in that game. I looked it up. You had 12, 6, 5, and 3 steals. I want to ask you, what do you remember about that game? And did you know at the time that it was going to be remembered for so long?
Well, what I remember is obviously at that time, it was in the Superdome in New Orleans.
Yep.
It was the most people ever to see a Final Four at that time. 64,000 people were in the Superdome for that game. It was the largest crowd ever for a Final Four. And in that game, I don't know if you remember that, in that game, Fab Five, obviously, you know, we came into the Final Four with the largest margin of victory of any team in the history of NCAA.
Yep.
We beat our opponents by 22 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
The only close game we even had was the game prior to that in the Elite Eight against Florida State, who had like 6 NBA guys.
Yep.
And I think that we might have had a 2 or 3 point halftime lead, end up beating them actually pretty bad by the end of the game. game for that, it was Rodney Rogers versus Jamal Mashburn. We were up 27 or 8 at halftime in the Sweet 16. Mm. So I remember that. But also in New Orleans, in the Superdome against the Fab Five, amazing game. 7 seconds to go, I think it was. 7 seconds to go in the game. We're down two. I'm at the free throw line for two free throws in front of 64,000. Tie the game.
Yeah.
They obviously call timeout.
Oh, ice.
We go over there. Obviously, Coach Pitino, didn't say much about it. Other than he kept saying, all right, after Travis makes these free throws, we're going to do this. After he makes these free throws, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost a little bit like the old no-hitter for pitchers.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
say anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't
yep.
say anything. But I go out. I make the free throws. I make both of them. We were going to put in a soft press just to slow. We pressed hard all the time, but just a soft one just to slow the game down. They inbounds it and drive up the sideline right in front of Coach Pitino, right in front of the bench, and run Tony Delk over. Literally, they run him over, and they don't call anything. Mm. They come down and miss, and we go to overtime. Jamal Mashburn, who was National Player of the Year that year, with Calvert Chaney, they split most of them.
Indiana.
He fouls out in the first minute of overtime, and I couldn't handle it by myself, and they end up beating us. But losing Jamal, and we had Dale Brown got hurt in that game, who was one of our starting two guards, who was off to a great start. He got hurt earlier in the game, but great, great memories for sure.
Yeah,
big time memories.
And final thing before we let you go, as we said, you played against the Fab Five, but what was your impression of them then as a player? And everything that they were doing culturally and everything like that. And how has that changed up to this point in your life?
Yeah, no, I wasn't a fan of theirs that night.
Yeah,
I
of course.
Just watching them play.
Yeah.
I think they brought a lot to the game as far as expressing yourself. And that, they were the first to wear maybe the baggier shorts, things like that. I thought that was pretty cool. I loved their bond that they had at that time. I thought that was really, really cool. And for many years, that was a great thing where, these guys kind of came together and decided to go to school and, to be able to accomplish what they did as freshmen, that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's hard. I don't care if they are all Americans. It's not easy to back it up. And they backed it up, made it all the way to the finals. So I was always impressed with those guys. Juwan Howard is just as class as they come. He was class that through that whole game. I remember that.
Oh, wow.
Really class through that whole game. I remember, Weber was just unstoppable. One of the most unstoppable players I've ever just been around physically. I was matched up against Jalen a lot, Jalen Rose a lot. And here I am all of 5'9", and he's a big, tall point guard. Was a challenge. I was just amazed with his talent level. Jimmy King, you go down the line. I was quite impressed with their team and enjoyed competing against them. It just wasn't easy.
yeah, it definitely wasn't. Did they influence you at all with the baggy shorts? Or you stick with the Stocktons you had on there?
No, I was straight Stockton to the point they had to tailor my shorts every year because I would look like I was 5'2" if I wore those shorts. I had to have mine specially tailored.
Yeah, we had John Stockton on the show, and I tried to show him my short shorts I was wearing in honor of him. He wasn't too impressed.
No.
He said, I need to get some.
I love
some,
the short shorts.
Got to get some sun on these legs.
Too.
Yeah, they are.
For real.
Yeah, that's why I was wearing them. But Stockton wasn't impressed. He told me to take them off. You can follow.
They probably didn't look quite the same on you as they did him.
Yeah,
exactly.
No one wears them like Stockton does. No one does. Yeah. But you can follow him on Twitter. He's at Coach T Ford 5. Also follow St. Louis Basketball. They're at St. Louis MBB. Men's basketball. Coach, we really appreciate you coming on the show. I got all the sports packages. I'm going to be watching you guys a lot this year.
We'll be rooting for you for sure.
And we hope in the conference championship game, it's you and Mike Rhodes, and then we can play this tape back about the old golfing one-on-one for him.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. We both will take that. We'll take that right now.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach. We really appreciate it. We wish you nothing but success this year. And hopefully we'll have you on again later in the season, Coach. That'd be great.
Guys, thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. All the best.
Thanks,
Take
Coach.
Care, man. Thanks.
See you later. Hey, everybody. We just want to take a quick second to tell you about BetterHelp. That's Better H-E-L-P. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? This is something that a lot of people struggle with. I know, man, you know, mental health is something that isn't taboo to talk about anymore. People are talking about it. It's at the forefront of a lot of conversations, and it should be, because a lot of people struggle with this, you know, and it's okay to ask, to seek help, to talk to other people about it, to get some experts to help you out, so you're not dealing with this for years and years and years, you know. So BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. What's great is that you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. What's great is they also have a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available to you. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. That's 24 hours a day. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can see a schedule. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you don't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. What's awesome is BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. What's awesome about this, man, is you get to do this in your house. You know what I mean? You don't have to go driving around. You're not going waiting in a waiting room, like I said.
You still be in your pajamas if you want.
Be in your drawers.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, you might have to talk about that with your therapist. You know, I don't know if he or she's going to be comfortable with that. But if they are, you know, maybe put a little blanket over you. No one has to know. You know, but BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's BetterHelp.com. You can visit their website, read some of their testimonials from real people, get an understanding and find out what works best for you. They have, like we said, a bunch of different expertise available. These people are professionals in a variety of topics and subjects and problems that you might be experiencing. We've got a special offer for our listeners. If you go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/DNP, as in did not play, you're going to get 10% off your first month, which is awesome, man.
Heck
yeah. You get a 10% off some therapy. You know what I'm saying?
It's a win-win. You get help through therapy and you're saving money.
Yeah.
People around you are probably going to be happier that, you know, you're getting help too. That's
great. And what's awesome about this, man, is that you can start taking control of your life today. You know, it's 48 hours. 48 hours from now, you could be onto a better version of yourself.
It's awesome.
And just because you're seeking a therapist doesn't mean you're really, really messed up or anything. Everyone has maintenance that they need to go through.
Absolutely.
And talk to someone about it. Life is difficult, man. It's really hard. It's not easy.
Yep.
And BetterHelp is a great resource and a great tool to help you through some of life struggles and everything. So go to BetterHelp. That's HELP.com/DNP. You're going to get 10% off your first month.
All right, folks, as promised, our week 9 NFL preview. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. First game on our slate here, we've got Atlanta at New Orleans. The Saints are 6-point favorites. They're going to be starting Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting. As we know, Jameis Winston is out. Siemian did look solid last week.
Yeah.
And I think when you got Sean Payton calling plays, it's easy to look solid for a quarterback. So we'll see if that success continues for him. The last 5 games these two teams have played have gone under the total. Another thing to note, it looks like Calvin Ridley's probably going to be out again for personal issues the last 2 weeks. Atlanta offense did not look good last week without Ridley. What do you think about this line, Chad? Saints favored by 6 at home.
I mean, this might be a good line to jump on, man. You know, it's 6.5 in some books, sports books. 6.5. I'm not saying Trevor Siemian did look good, but this might be the week to jump on it. You know what I mean? They only got a week to practice to overcome that loss of Jameis Winston and kind of switch some things up that's better for his style and strengths and everything. But I don't know, man. That's a lot. It seems like a lot for a team that I don't feel like is appreciably better than Atlanta. You know, 6.5, almost a touchdown there.
Yeah, you know, whenever you got these division teams going against each other, you know, the sharp move is usually to take the dog, the division dog.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I'm going to take New Orleans to cover here. I think they can cover the 6 or 6.5. I wouldn't be surprised if this got up to 7 by kickoff. So if you like New Orleans, I would say take them now. If you like Atlanta, wait it out and see if this continues to go up. But I just think that Saints defense is better than people think, and I think they'll be able to keep the Falcons in check without Ridley. Next up, we've got Denver at Dallas. We think Dak's going to be playing, but we're not 100% sure Dak's going to be playing. I'll tell you what, Dallas, by the way, 10-point favorite at home. I'll tell you what, if I'm the Cowboys and I've got the kind of division lead in the NFC East that they have right
rest
now,
rest him another game.
Why not? Yeah. Why not sit him down?
And it's Denver. It's not like you're playing Green Bay.
It's Denver without Von Miller, by the way. Yeah, good point. This is not, and it's not at Denver. You're at home. And your backup quarterback looked good. He looked good last week. So I would sit Dak. I think the Cowboys will probably play Dak. What do you think? I mean, just like intuition-wise, Chad, like 80% chance he plays, 90% probably?
Yeah, I'd probably say like 80 or 90.
Yeah.
You would think he's going to play. I feel like last week they just was a little bit more precautionary. They came off the bye week. They wanted to give him an extra week of rest, which I understand. But yeah, like you said, man, this would probably be the week to do it because you got Denver. He's not a great team. You know, just is your quarterback going to be worse than Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke if he comes in? That's probably going to be a push, you know? So yeah, I would personally, I would sit him with that division lead, and that division is not going to get any better. You know, those teams I don't think are really going to threaten to overtake Dallas there. So I'll arrest him, but he'll probably end up playing, which I understand. But I would take Dallas in the 10 if Dak's playing. You know, I would wait until as close to kickoff as I could to make that bet.
For sure. I'm personally not going to touch this game. A couple interesting trends you guys might be interested in. The over, the total has hit in 7 of the last 8 times Denver and Dallas have played each other. And Denver's 7-0 against the spread when they're on the road after their opponent has played a Sunday night football game. Next up, we've got the Bills. This is our biggest spread of the week. Bills 14.5-point favorites at Jacksonville. Buffalo, by the way, is 5-2 ATS on the season. Jacksonville's 2-5 ATS on the season. The Bills are 6-1 ATS in their last 7 on the road in this stadium in Jacksonville. And by the way, underdogs are 4-0 ATS in this series. That's the last 4 times Buffalo and Jacksonville have played each other. So that trend actually favors Jacksonville here. I'm not going to play this, but in like my pools where I'm forced to pick, I'm going to go ahead and take Buffalo to cover. These big favorites have been doing well covering so far this year. I've just got no faith in Jacksonville. And I think that Buffalo, could Buffalo be the best team in the league right now? They're definitely top 3. And, you know, I'll put them in 2nd or 3rd in my power rankings.
Yeah, definitely, man. I would think they're going to cover this as well. We've seen, like you said, big team or big spreads being covered by these teams. And there's just a massive gap between these two teams that are playing. So, yeah, I would take that 14.5, even though it's a lot. I think they're probably going to win by 3 or 4 touchdowns, to be honest.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Next up, we've got Houston at Miami. Miami is was it 6.5 last I looked, but has that line moved because Tyrod Taylor has been announced as the starter for Houston? What do you got there on Oddshark, Chad?
5.5 in some places. Okay. So maybe some places haven't caught up yet.
Okay, so that's a 1-point drop from 6.5 down to 5.5 on the news that Tyrod Taylor is going to be starting for Houston. If you guys watch this show, you know that I'm a Tyrod Taylor fan. I think that he gave the Browns a scare earlier this year by looking more than competent. I'm not going to try to say he's a top 10 quarterback, but he's very underrated, and I think Houston's live in this game. But you know what's interesting about this game, Chad? This is all the drama leading up to the Deshaun Watson trade. Is it going to happen? I read a report that the trade was actually agreed upon before the deadline, but Miami asked the NFL for clarification on whether or not Deshaun Watson can play or not, and they haven't heard back. So don't be shocked if we actually see this trade go through after the trade deadline because it was agreed upon before the trade deadline. But these are the two teams involved in this trade. Another interesting note, Laremy Tunsil, the Texans tackle, is a former Miami Dolphin, and he might come back in this game. He's got an outside chance of a revenge game against his former team. I like Houston. I wish I had an opportunity to get Houston plus 6.5 with Tyrod Taylor. Now that it's down to 5.5.
There's one place where you still can.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
There's one place.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
If you can.
I'm going to do that before we get off the air.
Yeah, I was going to say, we might want to cut real quick so you can get that shit. I'll hit refresh. It's going to be gone.
But yeah, if it goes down to 5.5 by the time you guys listen to this, I don't like Houston quite as much at that point.
Yeah, how did the NFL not know what's going on? How did they not tell them? They should already have it, you know. First of all, it should have already been expressed to any teams that were looking to trade for him. Yeah, he's eligible to play. No, he's not eligible to play. This is when he's going to be eligible to play. This has been going on since the beginning of, since before training camp started. And so, since the summer. So, they've had plenty of time to investigate this, to come up with a solution and a punishment. If he hasn't already, I mean, he's missed already half the season. You know what I mean? So they should have known this. That's bullshit that they didn't tell him. I'd be upset if I was if I was Miami and Houston here.
Yeah, sure.
5.5. Yeah, if Tyrod Taylor's playing, maybe I take that because I don't think these two teams, there's too much of a difference between the two of them. Tua just has not looked great. Maybe it's going to take him a little bit longer to come over the overcome this injury that he's had. But he doesn't look like a franchise quarterback, that's for sure.
Nope.
So, yeah, Ben, I would be with you. If Tyrod Taylor's playing, which they say he is, I would take that at 6.5 if you can jump on it right now. But by the time this comes out, it's probably going to be 5.5.
I think Miami is going to be a popular survivor pool play this week just because Houston is so bad. But yeah. I would not put my survivor life on the line with Miami there. Patriots, 3.5-point favorites at Carolina. Both teams are 4-4 ATS. Carolina, by the way, has won the last five ATS, the last five times they've played New England. Is Christian McCaffrey going to be available for the Panthers? We'll see. I really like the Patriots here, man. I've heard sharp people on both sides of this argument. Some people are saying the Patriots are terrible. Their only wins have come against bad teams, which is a fair argument, right? They beat the Jets twice, for crying out loud. But I also see them starting to get hot. And when I have an opportunity to give Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt, I'm going to do that because he's Bill frickin' Belichick. I'm going to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt that this isn't a mirage. They are getting hot. Combined with the fact that I don't have faith in Carolina, even after their win last week, I'm going to take the Patriots here to cover. Wouldn't be surprised if this is a double-digit win by the Patriots here.
I think that's safe to say, man. They went and played a tough Chargers team and beat them on the road last week.
Whooped them.
Yeah, whooped them. And Carolina, they're only getting 3.5. You know, I would take New England with this. I think that would be a great pick.
You know what's interesting real quick, Chad? You look at probably the best five teams in the league. I'm going to argue they're all in the NFC. You got the Packers, besides the Bills, excuse me. Yeah. You got the Packers, you got the Rams, you got the Bucks. I think they're better than anybody in the AFC, maybe besides the Bills, right? So the Patriots actually might be like a top AFC team laying in wait.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't think they're regarded that way, but come back and talk to me in 4 or 5 weeks. The Patriots may be regarded as one of the better teams in the AFC. And I'd imagine Bill Belichick likes flying under the radar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, man. And not only that, they, you know, it's about a half a season now under Big Mac Jones' belt, practicing with Bill Belichick,
yep.
You know, getting that offense down. They definitely look like they could be one of those teams. I don't know if we mentioned them last week when we were talking about teams that could catch fire, that could slide into the playoffs. They look like a definite playoff team right now.
Absolutely.
They're trending up. I would take this all day long. Yeah, I would take this spread in a heartbeat, man. I feel like it's way too low.
I agree. That's probably my favorite line of the week.
Yeah, same.
Minnesota at Baltimore. Baltimore is a 6-point favorite at home. Both teams are 3-4 ATS this season. Last four games in this series have all went over the total. Baltimore's 11-3-1 ATS after playing Cincinnati. I'm probably going to have to take Minnesota here just because 6 points is a lot of points in the NFL. Baltimore's great at home. I'm still going to take Minnesota. They're going to be without Danielle Hunter, their best pass rusher. But I like getting 6 points here with two quality teams.
I'll take Minnesota too. They seem to be able to keep games close, at least. They got a good defense, obviously. They're holding a lot of teams under their average offensively. 6 points is a lot. I feel like they're going to keep that close. The only thing I'd be a little bit worried about is maybe a backdoor cover towards the end of the game. Maybe they throw a touchdown pass or something like that once it's been close throughout. But 6 points is a lot. And Minnesota, I feel like I really like that defense, so I would take that all day long.
Yeah, I could see Kirk Cousins getting the backdoor cover for Minnesota in the fourth quarter against that Ravens defense playing in prevent for sure. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 1-point favorite. I'm going to turn the microphone over to you for a second, Chad. I just want to ask you a question before I do, though. OBJ seems to be exiled from the team. Is this a good thing? Because now it's going to galvanize the team because they're like, good, this cancer's out of the locker room. Now it's just us. Or has this been enough of a distraction this week because these players have been asked about it nonstop after every practice to the point where it's actually going to hinder their effort at Cincinnati?
I mean, I think it can only help. They played well last year without him. For whatever reason, man, it just hasn't worked at all. It's when we got him, we thought it was going to be this dynamic playmaker. He hasn't done that. Have they gone to him enough? Probably not. You can't force feed a guy, though, also. I feel like they were doing that at times. And then also, man, he's had some opportunities they just haven't taken advantage of. He's missed, you know, there was a crucial fourth down against Arizona a couple weeks ago. that he was right at the sticks. If he caught the ball, it would have been a first down. We still probably got beat, you know what I mean? But let's just not pretend like this dude's out there killing it and he's just not getting enough touches. He's dropped a lot of passes, you know? He's given up on some plays, you know what I mean? And so, and he doesn't drink water. I don't trust anybody that doesn't drink water. And most likely, he's probably just pissed off. He's in a bad mood. He's emotional because he's not properly hydrated. You know what I mean? If you're just drinking high C's all day and Gatorades, you're going to be a little moody.
No kidding.
I think that's probably part of it. I don't know, man. It just hasn't worked out. You know, let's move on. Let's get past it now.
He's probably also moody because he wasn't traded.
Yeah.
I bet he wanted to get traded. He wasn't traded before the deadline. But, bro, when your salary is that high and you're performing the way you are, nobody's going to want to take you on.
No one's going to take that on, man. $15 million, whatever it is. It's too much.
Yep.
He is not, dude, he's lost a step to me. Like, I mean, I understand that, you know, maybe we haven't used him the correct way, but in my opinion, he hasn't made the most of his opportunities. If he's open all the damn time, I mean, sure, Baker Mayfield hasn't been a great quarterback this year, let's just be honest. Like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, is he even a top 20 quarterback in the league? I don't know. Right now, no, he's a bottom third quarterback in the league. And I hate to say that because I like him a lot. A lot of it's probably injury, you know what I mean? But last year, he didn't have like the best statistical year. He minimized turnovers, you know, which was great. But he wasn't like, you know, like Josh Allen or something out there.
Right.
And so I think you just got to get rid of him, man, at this point. Just cut your loss, both parties. You know, it'll be interesting to see how he plays when he goes somewhere else, because I think he's lost a step. I don't think he's the same player. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But when you don't drink water, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get some injuries. You're just not going to perform like you should when you're out there full of Gatorade and sugar and shit.
Chad, is there a player in the league who has less support amongst his own fan base than OBJ?
I think people really tried to like him and stuff. They really did. Everyone in the organization did. All the fans, when we got him, everyone was super excited. And I think they tried to support him a couple of times this year. They were chanting OBJ after he made catches and stuff. They were trying to, you know, encourage him and everything like that. But he's injured a lot, man. He's been injured a lot the last few years. And he's playing with an injury now. He's not 100%. And then when he gets opportunities, he drops passes. You know what I mean? He hasn't made electric plays. And so it just seems like we're both parties are better off without each other. So it's time to move on. I'm honestly tired of talking about him. If he is the reason and they come out and they, you know, start looking like the team they were last year after this, then obviously he was a problem. We're going to find out, though, in a couple weeks, you know, the next few weeks, because they got some tough games. And no, I looked at our schedule, dude. I'm going to be honest with you. There's no game on the rest of our schedule where you're going, yeah, that's a for sure win.
Right.
Maybe one, I think,
right?
You know, that we've got. But there's nobody on the schedule. You're like, yeah, that's a definite win. I could see us going 5-12 or something.
Sure.
You know, because we look like hell right now. We don't have identity. We can't get the ball in the red zone. We can't score. It's incredibly frustrating. But I got a big matchup this week. I would take Cincinnati all day long in this show. I don't care. Like, they're getting a point. I think Cincinnati's going to win. Hopefully I'm wrong, but we'll see.
I think this game's going to tell us a lot about these two teams. I love one-point spreads because I like to add the 6 points on the teaser. So I do like Cleveland at +7 if you make this a 6-point teaser.
Yeah.
But as far as the side goes, I'm not going to touch this game with the one-point spread. A couple interesting trends before we move on to the Vegas Giants game. The over has hit in 6 of the last 7 games, the last two times these two teams have played. And Cleveland is 10-22-1 ATS in November, the last 10 years. So they don't do well against the point spread in November. Keep that in mind. Mm. Vegas, 3-point favorites. Unless, correct me if I'm wrong, you're on Odd Shark, Chad. Yeah. I see Vegas as a 3-point favorite at the Giants. Giants, by the way, are 6-0-1 to the under when they're at home under head coach Judge. And road teams are 4-1 ATS the last 5 times that these two teams have played. So this trend would favor Vegas to cover the spread here. Is it still 3, Chad?
Yeah, it's 3 across the board, man. Everywhere.
Painted threes.
Yep.
We got a lot of drama going on in this game. The Henry Ruggs situation, really unfortunate. I'm sure you guys heard the news. He was driving over 150 miles per hour, allegedly, with a woman in his car and a loaded gun in his car, and crashed into a young woman and her dog and killed them both. So that
dude was trying to take over the town, man. He got a gun and driving like 150 miles an hour, like Dukes of Hazzard or some shit.
Unbelievable.
That's terrible, man. Yeah. It's unfortunate that someone didn't get to this kid. And you know, give him some perspective and let him know that you can't be doing stuff like that, man. And yep. You've ruined a lot of lives in this yep. situation. It's really unfortunate for everybody involved.
It's sad. It's
incredibly sad.
And I don't mean to minimize the reality of the situation, but from this show, what we do is we look at things from a betting perspective. And from a betting perspective, you'd imagine this is going to shake up the Raiders locker room quite a bit. Derek Carr came out this week and said he got texts from Henry that night. Not talking about driving or drinking or anything like that, but he got texts from him earlier that night when Henry was at Topgolf. And it's kind of like tearing him up inside. He wonders, if I had said something, could I have made a difference, etc. So this is some heavy stuff that's on the heart of this Vegas team on the heels of the John Gruden situation just a couple weeks ago. These guys got to be feeling like, well, what's next? All these terrible things have happened. I think that's going to be tough for them to overcome. And oh, by the way, going to the East Coast, getting a little less yep. sleep. I like the Giants here +3 to cover for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that'd probably be a good bet. Las Vegas has been through so much. And just, dude, in the last 2 weeks, you know. So
I'll tell you what. If Vegas does win this game, and if Vegas does, which I don't think they will, but if they do and they make the playoffs, you got to start looking at their interim coach for coach of the year, potentially, believe it or not. You got to at least put him in consideration. I don't know that that's ever happened in the NFL before. I'd have to go back in the history books.
That'd
and look.
Be crazy.
But that'd be really impressive if he was able to overcome these huge distractions. And
be a great dark horse pick for coach of the year, man.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you can get some crazy odds on him right now.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You can. Next game up, Chargers. Last I knew, it was a 1 or 2 point favorite yep. at Philadelphia. What do you got there, Chad?
Anywhere from 1 to 2.5, actually.
Oh, seeing some 2.5. Yeah. Interesting, because it was at 2.5 earlier this week, dipped down to 1. It looks like it's creeping back up to 2.5. What I think is interesting about this game is that the Chargers, I think, are a great team, but they have one glaring weakness that's been exposed the last 2 weeks, and that's their defense against the run. The Patriots gashed them. So you look at Philly. They're not a good running team. Mm-hmm. And Miles Sanders, their best running back, is not going to be playing in this game. So from a matchup perspective, I see a Chargers team here who is going to be going up against a team that doesn't have the arsenal that can actually expose their weakness, which is why I like the Chargers. But I'm going to throw something out there. Don't put too much money on this one, because Justin Herbert's finger has been bothering him. He's going to play, but when it's your finger on your throwing hand, yeah. that makes you a little nervous when you're putting your money down. And you could even make an argument that that's why that line dropped from 2.5 down to 1. Maybe Vegas had some inside information on that finger, and that kind of scared them a little bit. I still like the Chargers, despite the Herbert minor, I think, injury news. I like the Chargers here just because I don't think Philly can hurt them.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch this game, man. It's just too... There's too much up in the air. I don't know what team is going to show up for either of these teams. Is Herbert going to be healthy? Is he going to be able to stay in the game? I wouldn't touch this game at all.
I think that's fair. Chargers, by the way, are 8-2 ATS on the road against the NFC East. Next one up, this is probably, I said that Patriots line was my favorite. This is going to be tied for my favorite. Arizona is a pick'em against San Francisco at San Francisco. Is it still a pick'em? Do you see any other numbers up there, Chad?
Yeah, there's actually a 2.5. Arizona 2.5 point favorite, but that's probably just hasn't caught up yet. Oh, actually, there's a couple.
Are you sure that wasn't the opening line?
No. I'm looking at it right now.
Wow, interesting.
2.5, yeah.
Kind of wondering places. If there's been some news, because when I checked this morning, it was
it's all over the place. It's anywhere from 2.5 to even.
All right.
One.
So definitely check the news on this game, guys. Couple things. Kyler Murray, when it was at a pick'em at least, and maybe news has broke since we started recording. But Kyler Murray was planning on not playing in this game. It was leaning that way at least. And then DeAndre Hopkins as well was also very doubtful for this game. So those are two guys for an Arizona team that when they had those two guys and they were up against Trey Lance, the Cardinals struggled to beat the 49ers in Arizona. Now you're in San Francisco. You may not have Murray. You may not have Hopkins. And it's Jimmy Garoppolo instead of Trey Lance. I like the 49ers here a lot. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man. I probably wouldn't touch this game either. It's just too many unknowns for me. If I had to, I guess I'd go with San Francisco, because I think Arizona is, like you said, if they're missing their two best players, especially their quarterback, MVP candidate, that's going to be really tough. Maybe that's why this line is so crazy right now. But this is a big matchup, man, for San Francisco, because they have to win this game. And Kyle Shanahan would get this lucky to have the matchups they've had, the schedule they've had. And then to get Arizona without their two best players, without their MVP candidate and Kyler Murray, this is a great opportunity for San Francisco. If they lose this game, I feel like they're going to be a 500 type team the rest of the season, you know, if they don't win this game.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot about what San Francisco is made of in this one, and really learn a lot about the Cardinals too, coming off of a Thursday night game that a lot of people thought they were supposed to win, you know, against Green Bay when Green Bay didn't have a lot of their weapons. So this is going to be an interesting contest. If you can get points with San Francisco, I adore it. If you can get points and tease it up with San Francisco through the seven, I like it even more. I'm going to repeat myself one more time. The 49ers played the Cardinals tough when they had Kyler Murray, when they had DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, AJ Green in the COVID protocol too. He's not certain to play either. So the Cardinals are going to be down some weapons. The 49ers are getting back George Kittle, their best offensive player. They're getting their Pro Bowl kicker back as well. So this team is getting healthy at the right time. I love the 49ers here in this spot.
You adore it.
I adore it.
I adore it.
I adore it.
It's like a little kitten with a bow on its head. I adore it.
That's how I feel about it. I just want to cuddle this bear. I love it. Okay. I love it. The Cardinals, by the way, are 4-1 ATS the last five times these two teams have met up. Green Bay at Kansas City. Kansas City is a 7.5-point favorite.
It was going to be the game of the week.
It was going to be the game of the week. It was going to be a pick 'em. But when the news broke that Aaron Rodgers was out with COVID protocol, which is a whole other thing we could probably talk a half hour about.
But we don't want to get censored either.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime we say the V word, YouTube doesn't like us very much.
We don't mean virgin.
No, that's not the V word we're talking about. It rhymes with the
censored.
Chiefs.
Censored.
I said
censored. Censored. Can't show ads. Censored.
The Chiefs are 7.5-point favorites. The over has hit 6 out of the last seven times these two teams have played. Green Bay is 7-0 ATS after a close straight-up win of 3 points or less. Kansas City's also coming off of a win of 3 points or less. They're 2-8 ATS at home in situations like this where they're coming off of a close win. I like Green Bay to cover here. I like Kansas City pick 'em. If you can get the bet in before you heard the Aaron Rodgers news, which I did, and a certain sports book who I may or may not use, canceled my bet.
Yeah. No, you text me about that. All pissed off.
I might have put in a very large wager on the Chiefs at -1. Before the news came out, and I'm celebrating. I'm like, I beat the book. I got my bet in before the book. And then I log in, canceled.
That's messed
up. It's not okay. That is not okay for a sports book to be operating.
No,
you gotta
do it faster. You know what I mean? This is what you guys do. You're supposed to be on the pulse. You know what I mean? You gotta change that line ASAP.
The worst part is I'm talking to their customer service person. Their customer service person says, well, look in the rules. The rules say that if we put up an error, then we're going to cancel the bet. And I said, what was the error? And he said, well, it was a bad line. I said, let's not use the phrase bad line because that phrase isn't in your rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Use the phrase error and you tell me where the error was. Yeah. Where was the mistake? And he's like, well, we put up the wrong number. I said, no, you didn't put up the wrong number.
That's the number you
it
had.
It was
before.
-1. That's what all the other books had it at. The
you
problem was that you were
enough.
Too slow.
Yeah.
So in my estimation, it was not an error. Anyways, I could talk about that for a half hour. Not too
that's
happy with
up.
Them. That's terrible. I do like Green Bay to cover here. Jordan Love, I think, can do well against this really porous Kansas City defense.
I was just thinking about how funny it would be if whenever our videos get censored, if like when we got the email, it was like in a German accent. You know, sorry, you have been censored. They will censor you.
I like it.
Draw between the lines. You know? You know? What do you think I'm saying here? It would be really cool if like a little guy in a mustache is just like, we will censor you. We don't like what you say. That would be hilarious. That's what I was thinking about the whole time you're talking about Green Bay and Kansas City. Just this little German guy just pops up in your email like, you have been censored.
I saw you smirking over there when I was talking about Green Bay.
I was thinking about this shit.
I was like, Chad's got a joke coming.
I was thinking about the shit in my head. This is welcome to my life, dude. This is what I do in all kinds of other serious situations in my life. Yeah, I just make jokes in my head, and then I have an imaginary audience that I feel like is cracking up as I'm saying this to myself. So,
Chad, what's the next game we've got on the slate here?
We got the Sunday night matchup with Tennessee at LA. This is going to be another game of the week, possibly.
Is it still 7.5?
Yeah, 7.5, 8 in some places.
All right.
But in two places, actually. But
the Rams are at home, correct?
Yeah, they're at home. This is going to be an awesome matchup, man. But
poor Derrick Henry out for the year.
You're sure going to get two MVP candidates going up against each other with Matt Stafford and Derrick Henry. A lot of that would have been determined by who won this game, I think. This would have been a great matchup. I still feel like Tennessee's going to come out and play well and keep it a little close, but LA's just got too much firepower. They got also two MVP candidates of their own, in Stafford and Cooper Kupp as well.
Yeah, good point. You know, I'm going to put a little sprinkle on the Titans money line here in a parlay, believe it or not. I definitely like the Titans to cover here. They're going to have Adrian Peterson. It'll be interesting to see what he can do. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting big things from Adrian Peterson, but he's going to fill a big need because they don't really have a running back on the roster who's kind of that between the tackles guy that can get you a yard or two at the goal line. And so from a fantasy football perspective, I could see Peterson getting 5 or 6 touchdowns before the end of the year in that high-powered offense. But the reason that I like the Titans here, they almost have kind of like the element of surprise, almost like when a team is preparing for another team that has two quarterbacks and you don't know which one is starting.
Yeah.
Are the Titans going to come out, as they've said they will in the press, and not abandon their identity and run the ball as often as they did with Derrick Henry? Or are they going to lean more on those Pro Bowl receivers and Ryan Tannehill? I don't think the Rams know the answer to that. I don't think they know what to expect. So there's almost a little bit of an element of surprise, a difficulty in preparing for this team because you don't know how they're going to attack you. And I'm not saying it's a good thing to have Derrick Henry out, but there is a tiny, tiny bit of a silver lining where you can now catch the Rams off guard here. I like the Titans to cover this number big time.
I was going to say the same thing, man, because I think they can keep it within a touchdown easily. I think they can keep it 3 or 4, somewhere around there.
The backdoor cover, if they don't, late in the game.
And they're going to play hard. They're still going to play hard. And I still think they're going to try and run the football. I mean, Adrian Peterson probably isn't what he used to be, obviously, but he's had some pretty solid seasons the last few years, kind of while he's been wandering around the NFL and everything. Sure. So I could see them. You can get 60, 70, 80 yards out of him. You know what I mean? I feel like that's a win. They probably will throw the ball a little bit more. They're going to rely more on Tannehill and those Pro Bowl receivers. But I think they can keep this within a touchdown, man.
Yeah, I agree. What do we got for the Monday night matchup, Chad?
We got Chicago at Pittsburgh, and we got Pittsburgh's a 6.5-point favorite, which I feel like is a lot, to be honest. I feel like they beat up on a bad Browns team last week, a mediocre Browns team last week. The defense is gonna be just like the Browns game. This is gonna be like a 10-13 game, something like that. You know what I'm saying? 16-0
going into overtime.
16-10. Yeah. Oh, God, help us. It's going to be like 16-10 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I would take Pittsburgh here. They're at home. It's going to be Monday night. Big game for them. Big, big game for them. They can kind of take control depending on what happens with Cleveland and Cincinnati. And then also Baltimore's got a big game this week. Depending on what, they can kind of take control of the division here, at least put themselves in the driver's seat a little bit. This would be a big, big win for them. I hope they lose, obviously. But 6.5 is a lot, but they're at home. It's Monday night. I would take it.
Yeah, I think before you bet this game, definitely keep an eye on the injuries. You got David Montgomery, who might actually be coming back for this game, outside chance to play. So that's going to be certainly interesting for sure. You got a porous Bears offensive line, which has allowed Justin Field to get wrecked all season long and beat up. And now you're going up against TJ Watt, a great pass defense for the Steelers. And so I think this is a situation where matchup-wise, the Steelers' strength matches up really well against the Bears' weakness. I could see the Steelers covering this spread and this being sort of a double-digit game. That wouldn't surprise me, but I'm probably not going to bet this one just because of all that uncertainty with injuries.
Remember in the preseason when Justin Fields said it was a little too easy?
Yeah.
He ain't saying that shit now.
Yeah, he won't be saying that at halftime of this game.
No, not when Pittsburgh's blitzing the hell out of him and knocking him on butt. But, dog, that's why you can't say shit like that. You know what I mean? You got to keep that to yourself.
Yeah. Oh, Khalil Mack, by the way. I mentioned the injuries. I forgot to mention him. Khalil Mack missed last week's game. We'll see if he's playing this one. That's another name to certainly keep an eye on because the Steelers' offensive line, while improved, has looked really bad at times this year as well. So we'll see if Khalil Mack's going to be playing in this one, but fun game to end the week. I know, Chad, I know you're not one of these guys that has to have a high scoring 40-33 game in order to have fun. I know you kind of like these defensive matchups, and I think we're going to end the week with one of these low scoring games you like.
Yeah, I think so too, man. It's going to be a 16-13, something like that. But yeah. I feel like Pittsburgh's going to eventually get a late touchdown. I could see it being like, you know, 19-10 or some shit like that. But before we do that, we also wanted to do a little bit of college football to sprinkle that in. You know, a couple of the games that are coming in this week. I'm just going to go through a couple of them and give you a line. Ohio State at Nebraska. I think that's going to be a lot closer game than a lot of people think. Nebraska's getting 15 points across the board, 14 and a half in some places. This is why you got to go to Odd Shark, folks, because you want to make sure you're getting the best number. It's a big difference when you're talking about a point, you know.
Absolutely.
So Nebraska, 15-point dogs at home. That's going to be a noon game against Ohio State. I would take Nebraska here. I think this is going to be one of the biggest games of their season. They've got Ohio State at home. It's a noon game. Would have preferred if this was a night game, I think. But
fans are going to be fired up.
They're going to be fired up, and I think that this is going to be like their Super Bowl, man. They want to get bowl eligible. They want to show some progress in the Scott Frost era, and I think this is a big game, man. I would take Nebraska here, plus 15.
Would you consider a money line sprinkle? Like, how do you think about them actually winning the game straight up?
Oh, dude, that would be interesting. I wonder what the odds are for that. I'd have to look at that.
Yeah, you can actually do that over if you scroll up.
Yeah.
You can, on Odd Shark, you can change from spread to money line and see what the money line is. That might be worth a little sprinkle.
I'm sorry, anywhere from 520 to 495.
Wow. So you can get 5-1 odds.
Yeah.
That boosts a parlay pretty nicely when you throw a game in there. I'll tell you what I like to do, folks. I like to build a nice 4 or 5 game parlay and throw an upset as the very first leg. First, as in chronologically, which game is played in which order. Because you don't want to have a 5 game parlay and hit the first 4 and then be counting on an underdog at the end of that parlay. So I like to put my underdogs early on in that parlay. So that's a nice opportunity to do that. Maybe even mix in a little college and NFL parlay.
Yeah, why not? Next game I want to talk about is Michigan State at Purdue. I'm kind of surprised this line is so low. It's only Michigan State by 3 across the board. You got 3.5 here as well. But I'm surprised it's so low. But this does seem like a little bit of a trap game. Michigan State's coming off that big win against Michigan, unfortunately. Bastards.
You don't want to talk about that?
I'm just going to talk about referees. Doug, there's so much bad officiating. There has been the entire time Jim Harbaugh's been at Michigan. We've been the recipient of some terrible officiating, and I hate to be that guy, but it does definitely feel like the referees in the Big Ten have a vendetta against Jim Harbaugh. Anytime there is a bang bang play, 100% of the time it's going to the other team. I don't know what it is about the guy. They just don't like him, unfortunately. And there were some very, very atrocious calls in that game. A lot of people from CBS actually were talking about that afterwards, that Michigan wouldn't be penalized too much because of the fact that they kind of got screwed in that game multiple times. So many times. They're game-changing plays that would have blown the game right open. At one point, we were up 30-14. We were just pinning our ears back and coming after them from our defensive line, dominated their offensive line. We had a strip sack fumble that was returned for a touchdown. The ball was clearly coming out as he was going to the ground. They called it not a fumble. They ended up punting. I think we ended up getting a field goal. But that's a difference of 4 points. And a huge momentum swing. It was just, you know.
I just want to thank our viewers for hanging in there for Chad's therapy session last 5 minutes.
Oh, I got more.
I'm sure he feels better.
Dude, anytime my team loses like that, I just avoid it. It sucks because sports is one of my favorite things in the world. There. But you just avoid. When it's a rivalry game like that, you just want to avoid sports for the rest of the day.
I thought about texting you, but I thought better of it.
Oh, yeah, please. Unless you want to destroy our friendship. You know. Unless you want me to destroy our friendship.
Well, I thought about texting you, and I was like, well, it's 5 hours after the game. Chad's on about the second quarter of this game, so I'm going to have to, wait until tomorrow.
What's great, what's hilarious is that if you watch the game on Fox, I literally started the game an hour and a half late because I had a bunch of stuff to do. I had some dad responsibilities I had to take care of and everything. I started the game an hour and a half late. I caught up on the last drive. That's how many damn commercials there are in this. Over an hour and a half. I stopped to, you know, do a little partaking of some little bowl sessions and shit, you know what I'm saying? And came back. So I was over an hour and a half. So over like 2 hours of commercial. Fox is the worst, dude. They're the absolute worst. I hate when our games are on Fox. But I caught up at the very end of the game. So still terrible.
Some bowl sessions. It's always bowl season in the Fisher household.
It's always, yeah. here's a line here. LSU at Alabama, big rivalry game. Obviously, Alabama is going to be a massive favorite, but I almost think this line is too high, man. 28.5 for Alabama. It's at home, but that is just a very large spread for a rivalry game. I know, obviously, Alabama is going to take the opportunity to beat the hell out of LSU if they can, but 28.5 is a lot.
I just can't, out of principle, I can't touch a point spread that big.
Yeah.
I can't, unless I'm just like, it's the only game on, like a Thursday night, a MAC game or something like that, and I just got nothing else to do. I can't mess with a 28-point spread.
I'm right there with you, man. That's just way too high for me. I would take LSU in that if I were you. Last game we're going to talk about here is Oregon at Washington. This is a big, big game for Oregon. Washington's a decent team, mediocre team, but this is at night. It's 7:30. It's going to be, 4:30 their time. But Oregon at Washington, I feel like this is a trap game. Oregon hasn't looked great the last few weeks, since beating Ohio State. They kind of feel like they've been sleepwalking a little bit. But I still like Oregon in this. It's only 6.5, 7. I think they can cover that. This is a big game for Oregon, man. This is because they are in the college football playoff.
Yep.
They will be in with that big road win against Ohio State. If they win out there, definitely in. They got to keep winning. Every game is a playoff. That's what I love about college football is after you lose a game, every game is a playoff for the rest of the season because you can't lose. You can't slip up.
I'm with you on that one on Oregon.
And then one last thing is Indiana at Michigan. It's a 7:30 game, night game. 19.5 is a point spread. It's a large point spread. But at the same time, I think Michigan's going to be pissed off from what happened last week. I think they're going to see us open it up even more. When you score 33 points, you should win the game. Some of that was our defense. You can't give up 37 points in a rivalry game, man, not on the road and expect to win. But 19.5, I'm actually crazy enough. I'm going to take that 19.5. I think they're going to win by 4 or 5 touchdowns, to be honest with you. I think they're going to come out fired up and pissed off.
4 or 5 touchdowns.
Damn. Yeah, dude. I think they're going to open it up. I think that what you saw last week. Yeah, I think what you saw last week with our quarterback, I feel like they're going to – you saw how accurate he was and everything. He surprised a lot of people. Cade McNamara. We also had that stud 5-star true freshman, J.J. McCarthy, who I can't wait to see take over the reins. But I think we're going to open up a little bit. I think we're going to start passing the ball a little bit more. You're going to start to see some of that talent on the outside. Andrell Anthony looked really good. He's a true freshman wide receiver that I feel like is going to have a great career. I think that they're going to cover this, and I actually probably going to put some money down on it.
Nice. It's going to be a fun slate, man. All those great college football games you just mentioned, followed by the NFL games we talked about earlier. It's going to be a fun weekend.
We've got a great weekend of sports, man. Yeah, great weekend of sports. NBA's been awesome to watch. My Cavs have been playing really well.
Yep.
It's been really exciting. This is the best time of sports.
Love the fall.
Almost every night you got something. You got a great game. Every night you do have a great game on. So.
No doubt about it, man.
Yeah,
sure.
So we appreciate everybody listening. Thank you for watching. You can follow us on all social media platforms. We are at DMP CD Sports, except for on Twitter. We are at DMP CD Show. Also go to hothpiemedia.com. You can check out all of our past episodes. Also find out some new podcasts that Hot Pie Media produces. They got stuff about pretty much everything you can think of. Ghosts, you got self-help stuff and everything, and comedy and everything. It's a great resource to check out, hotpiemedia.com. Give us a follow. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe. Please tell your friends about the show. It's an awesome episode, man.
Yeah, man. A lot of fun, dude.
Travis Ford was awesome. We appreciate him coming on the show.
Great interview. Great stories from that guy, man. That was awesome.
That was great. Great to talk to him.
Generous with his time, too. Gave us a half hour. That was great.
Yeah, yeah. Head coach for 25 years and played for one of the best college basketball teams in the country. One of the best coaches of all time as well. Rick Pitino. We didn't get to ask him about
that.
Great
guy, yeah.
Before we go, we want to tell you guys a little bit about Oddshark. Oddshark is your free source for the latest odds from leading authorities, including expert editorial content. They've got the hottest sports news. They've got detailed matchup picks. They've got in-depth expert analysis. You should check all this stuff is absolutely free. They've also got free, faster live odds as well. Make sure you go to oddshark.com. That's oddshark.com. This is a resource that we love. This is what we use for our betting segment just now. And you see how important it is because we talked about how the line changed a bunch in a lot of these different sports books and everything like that. So it's important to go to Oddshark. Make sure you're getting the best number. It's really frustrating when you hit on a bet or almost hit on a bet and you could have if you'd have went to Oddshark and got the best number that you possibly could.
Yeah, for sure. It's a no-brainer. And like you said, Chad, it's absolutely free. So make sure you check it out. They've been supporting the show for a while. When you support them, you support us. Oddshark.com, Oddshark.com.
We appreciate you guys listening. Thanks for watching. For Tony, I am Chad. We'll see you guys again next week. Peace out.
Thanks for listening. You can find more episodes and all of our other Hot Pie Media originals baked fresh daily at our home online at hotpiemedia.com, the Hot Pie Media YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.